Acts 2, verse 42. They spent their time in learning from the apostles, taking part in the fellowship, and sharing the fellowship meals and the prayers. Many miracles and wonders were being done through the apostles. Everyone was filled with awe. The believers continued together in their close fellowship and shared their belongings with one another. They would sell their properties and possessions and distribute the money all along, according to what each one needed. Day after day, they met as a group in the temple, and they had their meals together in their homes, eating with glad and humble hearts, praising God and enjoying the will of all the people. Every day the Lord added to their group and those who were being saved.
Hi, good morning. It's my great joy to be sharing with you this morning in the next in our series on whole life discipleship. Our theme this morning is fellowship, based again on Acts 2:42. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Now, the word for fellowship in this passage is taken from a Greek word meaning koinonia, which literally means having a share with someone in something. So it was used in the business world. In fact, some of the disciples of Jesus who were into fishing may well have had koinonia with other fellow fishermen. They were, if you like, fellow shippers. But the New Testament uses the word to denote the closeness of relationship between followers of Jesus who are common sharers, if you like, in Christ. And it's because of God's joining together in that fashion that there's a depth of relationship which becomes possible because of what we all share in our experience of God and life in Him. And I thought to illustrate and reflect on the different kinds of fellowship that we may have in a local church. I would take you back to my college days, going away to college, and two kinds of fellowship that I experienced there. So I was a student at Y College. So there's the college that was just across the road from my digs. It's 70 miles or so from London, near Ashford in Kent. It's a London University College, though sadly closed in September 2009. And I studied agriculture and economics there. There were some 600 or so students. Now, I'd gone to college as a Christian. I'd been brought up in a Christian Brethren church on the Isle of Wight. And so this is quite natural. I decided to go to a church very similar and managed to find one, a train journey arrived down in Ashford itself. So I used to attend there every Sunday, certainly Sunday mornings, almost always go back to lunch with someone in the congregation. The former principal of the college was an elder at the church, so that was great. We had that connection. And so for 3 years, I would attend the church, benefit from the activities, including sometimes even evening service and after evening service youth group. But of course, there was a different kind of fellowship that existed within the college itself. There was a Christian union, or what we called a Christian fellowship. And they were made up of, that was made up, of course, of all kinds of denominational backgrounds, Anglicans, Baptists, Methodists, Pentecostals, Charismatics. And so I was thrust into this gathering of Christians, a bit alarmed in some cases. I mean, some of them would wave their hands in worship. Some of them would believe that God could heal today. And others, they'd hug in public, which was most extraordinary to me. So there I was, part of this fellowship, partly me wanting to run, but realizing that actually these were fellow Christians. Although we had differences about minor matters, we all believed the same essential things about following Jesus. And our job in the 3 years or so was to follow Jesus as best we could and to share something of his good news and love with fellow students. And so that was a very different kind of fellowship. And I, as I got involved, I helped to run the house party in the first year. I was part of the executive team in the second as prayer secretary. And then in the third year, appointed as the president, one of the leaders, the main leader, if you like, of the fellowship. So, and I was glad to say that in the last year or so of the college, of the CU, we saw some 20 people put their trust in Jesus. So it was a thrilling time to be united together around a common mission. So if you contrast the two, well, I used to attend the church in Ashford as a consumer, if you like. Of course, they were doing their own missional type things. It wasn't that, but it was just, for me, I was a consumer. In the second fellowship at the college, I was very much a contributor. And that's the very big difference in terms of the depth of fellowship and connection that was possible within the two groups. Now, of course, Acts 2:42 comes at the end of a passage where the birth of the church, the Holy Spirit has come. Some 3,000 people had been added to the church through Peter's message and God's goodness. And these were people, therefore, who were devoted to being followers of Jesus, realizing that it was God's intention that the good news about Jesus wouldn't just stay in Jerusalem, but will go to Judea, Samaria, indeed to the ends of the earth. And so they were contributors. They wanted to be together to learn more about what following Jesus was about and in order to spread the love and goodness of God himself. And of course, as I reflect back on those days and I think about churches I've been part of in the past and my own heart and way, it's very easy to slip back into being just a consumer. Now, there's a sense in which we'll always be consumers. And if you're not yet a believer, if you've stumbled upon us, of course, you know, we welcome people to come and enjoy what we enjoy from God. But God's intention is that we become followers of Jesus and that we become part of, if you like, the family business, the God's family business in sharing his love elsewhere, in being an impact upon the community, as Holiday Club reminded us a few weeks back, in being part of the body of Christ, and that we all matter, that we're all awesome, we all got contributions to make. And so in that sense, the encouragement for me in looking at fellowship is to ask the question, well, am I a consumer or am I also a contributor? And as you're listening to this, I wonder whether you're mostly a consumer or actually a contributor too, as part of God's family, either in St. Mary's or wherever the local church is that you're currently part of, or perhaps not even part of a church and need to dig in somewhere. One of the key ways, of course, in being a contributor, of course, is to be part of a small group. Fellowship in a large church like St. Mary's, when we're all gathered, of course, is much, much harder for us to connect with others, to be a contribution to them, perhaps much easier in a smaller group where our absence is missed and we can have a voice and get to know one another and support one another. And no doubt during this lockdown period, for some of you, it's the connection with those within your small group that have been most precious as you've received texts and emails and phone calls and maybe socially distanced conversations. And I think as we reflect upon our Vicar Richard Wilson's challenge to think of ourselves in terms of being a mission agency in Reigate, it's that importance of connection in fellowship, in the depth of fellowship, that's really going to count for us, because we need one another. Michael Frost very helpfully looked at the four legs of the Christian balanced life. He's an Australian evangelist. And the four legs, of course, are Bible study, prayer, fellowship, and witness. And Michael would argue that actually it's the witness leg that is the most important. Because as we are followers of Jesus, Jesus was the one who preached good news. And that behoves us to be preachers and communicators of good news ourselves. And if we're seeking to do that, well, of course, we need to know the Bible. We need to know what it is, the message that we share. And we need to be able to respond to questions. We need prayer because it is a spiritual battle. It's not, our fight is not against flesh and blood, but against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Without me, you can do nothing, said Jesus. And hence we need prayer. But we also need fellowship. We need people around us who can egg us on, who can support us when we're not playing in our A game, but maybe in our Q game or our R game. We need others to come alongside us and encourage us in our faith so that we can stay fervent in our walk with Jesus. As I come to the end of this message, my question to us and my question to myself is, to what extent am I a consumer? And to what extent am I a contributor? And if I want to be a contributor, then how in this week ahead might I contribute to the body of Christ in some way so that God's name is known and Christ is made alive? Maybe there is someone I need to be texting or phoning or praying for, or asking God for a word for, that I may just enable them to be more supportive. And it may be that you are feeling down and discouraged as you're watching this. And maybe you need to say to the Lord, Lord, send me someone along who can be a support and encouragement for me in the week ahead. So may God help each of us to be a contribution as we seek to have fellowship one another and have that koinonia, that deeper sense of fellowship that transcends some of the barriers that our world has placed and reminds us that we have a common life in Jesus, and that common life in Jesus matters more than anything else.